The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Matos and Masei. In Parshas Masei, the Torah deals with Shvichas Domi, the prohibition of murder, and I'd like to devote this evening to the subject of violence. Let's qualify that and call it unjustified and unwarranted violence. You know, we live in a world today that is a world of violence every day. Crime and murder, assault and wars and so forth. The Torah takes a very strong viewpoint towards this. And the Torah is very peace-loving. And a Jew who abides by the Torah and brought up with traditional Torah values also has to be a peace-loving person, a person who's very far from violence. Unfortunately, that's not the society that we live in today. Now, we're speaking, though, of an unwarranted violence. There are times that we are commanded to be violent in order to crush violence. But here we're referring to unjustified and unwarranted violence. Now, one form of violence is premeditated murder. Murder with intent. There are many sources for this in the Torah, many prohibitions, and one is in our Sedra, in Parshas Masei, Lamed Hei Posuk Tes Zayin. Torah tells us, V'im b'chli varzel hi kohu, if he strikes his fellow man with a something made of iron, v'yomos, and he kills him, reitzeachu, then he's a murderer. Moshu mas harotzeach. This murderer should be put to death. Vim be'evin yod asher yomos b'hiko. And if he strikes him with a stone which is capable of killing, v'yomes, and he does kill him, reitzeachu, he's a murderer. Moshu mas harotzeach. He shall be put to death. O v'chli eitz yod asher yomos b'hiko. Or if he strikes him with a wooden weapon which is capable of killing, v'yomes, and he kills him, reitzeachu, he's a murderer, meishumas haretzeach, the murderer shall be put to death. That's one source of the prohibition. As I mentioned, there are many in the Torah. We'll quote a few. In Parashas Mishpotim, which is Shmeis Chof Aleph, Posuk Yud Beis, Torah writes, Make ish vameis, a person who strikes his fellow man and he kills him, mos yumos, he shall be put to death. Another source we have is in Parshas Yisro, in the Ten Commandments. Parshas Yisro, Shmos Chof Posuk Yud Gimel, it states, Leisirzach, you shall not kill. And another source that we have in Parshas Noach, Tes, Breishis Tes, Posuk Hei. This is the first source in the Torah. Ba'ach es dimchem lenafshisechem edreish miyad kol chay edreshenu. After the great flood, the Almighty blessed Noach, and he gave him permission, excuse me, he gave him permission to partake of meat, of the flesh of animals. So this was the first time that man was permitted to kill any living thing. So there the Torah commanded, Noach, v'ach es dimchem lenafshisechem edresh miyad kol chay edreshenu, that you shall not kill a person. If you do, I shall avenge his blood. Even your blood refers to even someone who kills himself. Or if an animal kills a person, I shall avenge his blood. Umiyad odom miyad ish ochiv edreis es nefesh odom. Shefech dam odom bo odom dom yishofech. Whoever spills the blood of a fellow man, then his blood shall be spilled. And also it states in this posuk, Shefech dam ha'odom bo'odom. The Gemara learns from here, even if you kill a man within a man, which means the fetus, that you're not allowed to kill a fetus either, an unborn child, that's also murder. And if you do, states Doma Yishofech, the Almighty said to Noach, then I will avenge you, and I will seek the blood. Kibitzelem elekim oso eso odom. What is the reason? Because man is made in the image of the Almighty, and therefore you have no justification, you have no permission to take his blood, to kill him, unless the Torah warrants it. So these are a few of the sources of the prohibition for premeditated murder. And we see from here that the penalty is the capital punishment. And this, the Gemara explains, if there are qualified witnesses, two witnesses, who saw the act and he's duly warned and he still kills, then it's the obligation, the duty of the Beis Din, of the courts, to put the murderer to death. If he kills without proper witnesses, or without proper hasra, proper warning, then the courts cannot put him to death, but Shamayim will, heaven will put him to death. We are also commanded not to be compassionate to the murderer, towards the murderer. And this states in our parsha. In our parsha, Parsha's Maaseh, it says in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, "V'leisikhu kefil nefesh reitzeach asher hu rosh olomus ki meishu mos." You are not allowed to take a ransom. If he offers you all the money in the world in order that you should let him off, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to take the ransom from the person who is guilty to die, but you must put him to death. And then there's a Rashi that brings a Sifri, an interesting Sifri in Parsha Shofti. This is in the Devarim Yutes, Posuk Yud Gimel. That the Torah says, Leisochus Eincho Olov, that in a case of murder, you shall not show mercy towards the murderer. If there's doubt whether he murdered, that's something else. But if he's a convicted, right? If he's convicted, and there is no doubt, and it's proven, except you want to show compassion towards him, you have no right to. Because you are not the owner of the blood of the killed man in order that you could waive this penalty. The blood belongs to the Almighty. The Almighty does not waive the penalty. But perhaps you'll say, so Rashi brings from the Sifri, Harisha in Kfar Nera Agloma Ono Horgim Ezeh V'nimtso Shnei Yisraelim Harugim. Perhaps you'll say something that we hear today, that the first one is, the victim is already dead. What good are we going to do now by killing the murderer? We'll make things worse. There'll be two people that will be killed. So better leave him alone. And that the Torah writes, Leisochos Eincho Olav. You are not allowed to show compassion towards him. If he's a convicted murderer in the first degree, then he must be put to death. And permission was not granted to you to waive this right. Because the Torah was very adamant. The Torah was very exacting in stamping out violence and murder from the world. And then we even find another halacha in this vein. In this parsha, Shaftim, near the end of the parsha, Chof Aleph, in Dvorim Chof Aleph, Posuk Aleph, then there's a whole episode that if you find a murdered person between two cities and we don't know who killed him, it becomes an outrage. We cannot find the murderer to bring him to justice. And the blood of the dead man must be avenged. It will not rest until it's avenged. It becomes a great outrage. The Torah tells us, the Sanhedrin Hagdola, the elders from the great court must come, and they must point a finger of responsibility to someone. So they measure to find which city is the corpse closest to. And the city that is closest to, that city is considered guilty. And therefore the elders of that city must come and bring a sacrifice. They bring an egla arufa. They bring a calf. And they kill the calf. And they say that this should cleanse our guilt. They say when they do this, "Chol zikne ha'ir, ahi, akrevim al acholo," that the elders of that city, which are close to that corpse, they say, "Yodeinu leishofchu es adom hazeh." We did not kill this man. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept, since we cannot find the murderer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should not blame us, but accept this sacrifice for us. And then the Kahanim, the priests, answer, "Kapeh la'amcha Yisrael," that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should forgive the nation of Israel. "Baltitein damnoki bekerev amecho Yisrael, v'nikar nikapeh lohem hadom." And he shall not blame them for this blood that was spilled. So we see that if a murdered man was found in Israel, this was an outrage. And the murderer must be brought to justice immediately. And if he cannot be, then the people of that city are responsible for allowing such lawlessness in their land. And the elders, as representatives of the city, must come, and they must bring a kapora, they have to bring an atonement. This is what murder meant by Klal Yisrael. Not in a society that we live today, that it becomes commonplace. That's in regards to premeditated, intentional murder. There's another form of murder. And that's when it's done without intent. Unintentional murder. When a person kills someone, and he didn't mean to. He did it through a carelessness, or he did it because he wasn't careful enough. And that also the Torah considers in the classification of murder. And the person therefore also has to have a kapora, he must have an atonement. That's also dealt with in our parsha, in Parsha's Masay. It states, in Pasuk Chof Beis, Lamed Hei Chof Beis, Bim Bepesa Belei Evo Hadofoi. If he pushed him, but it was not with intent, O Hishlich Olov, Kol Kli Belei Tzdiyo, or he threw something on him, not realizing he was there. For example, he was chopping down a tree and he thought no one was there, and someone came along and the tree fell on him. Or he was working, he was building, and he threw something. Something fell, and it fell on the person. And he was not his enemy, and he was not looking to harm him. Then the Torah tells us an interesting law, that since this was done, it's speaking where it's not totally accidental. It's where it could have been avoided. If it was totally accidental, circumstances beyond one's control, then he's not responsible at all. But if it could have been avoided, for example, he would have been more careful. He would have made sure that the way was clear before he started to throw down his trees. Then the Torah tells us that really he's guilty. And the Goel Adam, the kin, the close relatives of the victim, have permission to take this man's life because he murdered their closest of kin. except the Torah says that if this man, the murderer, will run to a city of refuge, then he'll be safe from the Gael Hadam, from those relatives of the victim. And therefore, in our parashat, Moshe was commanded to set up cities of refuge. These were cities which belonged to the Levim. And he had to go there. This was not only a refuge, but this was also a punishment. He had to go there. He had to be exiled from his home and go to one of these cities of refuge. And if he would walk out of the city of refuge, then the Gael Hadam, the relatives of the murdered man, had a right to take his life. And he had to stay in the city of refuge until the high priest would die. Why was this? Because he took a man's life. And had he been more careful, then this wouldn't have happened. And life in violence is something that is not looked at lightly by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and by the Torah. People think that today this is not too relevant. It's true, we don't have cities of refuge today. We don't have the halach of the Gael Hadam, the law where the closest of kin takes the person's life. But it's very relevant today. One example is accidents on the road, which we've mentioned many times. Accidents on the road which take place all of the time, according to statistics issued by road councils, they are not unavoidable accidents. Greatest cause of loss of life on the road is alcohol. Second greatest cause is speeding. These are not unavoidable accidents. Others is carelessness. Now this is something that people look at very lightly. You know, drive carefully. Stay in your lane. Don't tailgate. Don't speed. People look at this very lightly unless there's a speed trap down the road. And then everybody warns you there's a speed trap. It's a big joke, but the Torah looks at it as murder. Right? As murder. And it would be subject to all of these halachos during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, where the closest of kin would have the right and some all the mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to go and to avenge the blood of the dead person, if it was an accident which could have been avoided. South Africa has one of the worst road safety records in the world, in the civilized world. Our own Eretz Yisrael equals South Africa. Those are two countries that have the worst records in the world. And the Torah brings here that it states, "V'leisachnif es ha'oretz asher atovo ki adam hu yachnif es ha'oretz." You shall not defile the land which you live in. Because do not defile the land with the spilling of blood which I dwell in. Because if you do, then I will remove myself. So Rashi brings from the Gemara that we see from here that when there is a unjustified loss of life, this causes the Shekhinah to leave. Shekhinah leaves Eretz Yisrael. This is what's written here. The Almighty says that I do not stay with you in your land when there's a loss of life. It was very gratifying to read recently. For many years, there's been an outcry in Eretz Yisrael to do something about it. In Eretz Yisrael, which has the minds and the ingenuity of Jews coming from all over the world. Can't they even drive like civilized human beings? And there's been an outcry for a long time to do something. It was very gratifying to read just recently a report that there's been a great undertaking to put things right in this vein. And they say that in the last few months, this was a report I read about a month ago, in the last few months they minimized the amount of accidents by a tremendous percentage, which shows that it can be done. So this is regarding killing without intent. Now there's another category, and that's killing, causing loss of life, not through an actual act of yours, but through some type of negligence. That's not dealt with in this parsha, but that's dealt with in Parsha Kisetse, in Devarim Chov Beis Ches. Chov Beis Ches, the Torah tells us, Kisivne Bayis Chodosh, if you build a new house, Vosisa Make Legagecho, you shall make a fence around your roof. Veleisosin Dos Domim Veisecho Ki Yipol Hanefel Mimenu. And you shall not be responsible for bringing bloodshed into your house if someone will fall off the roof. From here we learn that if you have a roof which people use, and it's a high roof, then you must build a protective wall. If you don't, and someone falls, so the Torah says that you have placed bloodshed in your home, you are responsible. This is another category. This is not a category where you actually kill the person. Chalila, heaven forbid. But through your negligence of providing a safe home, you caused him to die. This is a positive commandment and a negative commandment. Mitzvah's essay of Vosisa Maki Legagecho, of making a roof on your house, and a negative commandment of not causing, through lack of safety, bloodshed in your home. This is something which must be looked at very seriously, because the Gemara calls this Leisosim Domim Veisecho. This is in the category of murder. And the Rambam brings these halachos. Rambam brings this in Perek Yud. Just one minute. Of Hilchos Reseach Ushmiras Nefesh. He brings it in the same section where he brings all of the laws of murder. Perek Yud Aleph. Now this doesn't only apply to a roof. This applies to anything where anyone might, any point of danger where anyone might fall. So the Gemara says, and the Rambam brings, for example, any high place, any well. If a person has a well in his yard, he has to, whether there's water or not water, he must build a wall around it, because it's a danger point where a person can fall. From here we can learn a swimming pool. A swimming pool must be guarded. If not, then, heaven forbid, it can cause loss of blood. And these halachas are extended to all types of hazards in one home. The Gemara and Rambam goes in great detail, which we don't have time to go into now. But for example, one must take great precautions in keeping medicines and poisons in a house. If a person has medicines, or if he has poisons, of one type or another, he must safely secure them. Or firearms. It's very common today that people have firearms in the house. And it's very common today, we read about all the time, how children lose their lives because they get into the firearms. This is inclusive in this halacha. Or how many times do we read about children taking medicine or other types of solutions which have poison in them. Wild animals. Person has a wild animal in the house, a wild dog, or some other type of wild beast. This borders on murder if he's not safeguarded. Or fire. How many times do we read about great tragedies? Because people were not careful with fire. Or they left fire, or they left candles burning with children in the home. Now this all goes into what we're speaking about, where this borders on murder. Of Osisa Make, the Rambam brings all of these halachas here. Osisa Make legagecho, that you shall safeguard the roof of your house, veleisosim domim veisecho, in order that bloodshed shall not be into your home. So that's another category. Then we have another category of violence, which is not murder, but it's a violence which the Torah does not tolerate. And that has to do what we're learning today, this year in Baba Kama, in the yeshiva, in Masechta Baba Kama. And that's Chevel Mazik. That you're not allowed to injure a person. Even if you don't kill him, you're not allowed to strike him, you're not allowed to injure him. The Rambam brings in Hilchas Chevel Mazik Perikei Alocha Aleph Osu Lo'odom Lachbol Bein Bi'atzme Bein Bechaveri. A person is not allowed to make a wound in himself or in his friend. Not allowed to inflict a wound. A wound is where he draws blood, in himself or in his friend. And not only if he inflicts a wound, but whoever strikes a fellow Jew, an upright Jew, bein koten, bein godel, whether he's a minor, whether he strikes a minor or he strikes an adult, bein ish, bein isha, or whether he strikes a man or a woman, derech nitzoin, if he strikes him in a manner where he's fighting with him, so he transgresses a negative commandment. When someone does an aveira transgression and is guilty of the corporal punishment, and in the Bezdin they would take and they would give him lashes, so there it states that you're not allowed to add more than he is guilty of. If he's guilty of 39, you're not allowed to give him an extra one. And the Torah says, Leisesif, you're not allowed to add one. And if you do, then you transgress a negative commandment. It's a Leisaseh. So from here we can make a Kal V'chaimer. If by this person who's a Rosher, he's a wicked person, he's guilty of lashes, and you want to give him an extra one, and the Torah says this is a prohibition, a negative commandment, a lav. So what happens if you hit a person who's an innocent person? So certainly then you'll transgress a lav. This means if you hit someone, we're speaking here not that you're playing with them or you're sporting with them, but you hit someone because you want to harm him. Oh, this talks about a bully also, that's always bullying other people. This is a negative commandment. This is a prohibition, a leis aseh in the Torah. And even to raise your hand to strike another man is prohibited. Not allowed to. And whoever raises his hand to strike his fellow man, even though he does not hit him, he's a rosho. He's called a rosho. A rosho means a wicked man. Where do we learn this from? We learn this from Moshe Rabbeinu. Because when Moshe came out, first of all, Moshe was a man who couldn't tolerate violence. He was a man who could use violence to crush violence. He wasn't afraid to use it, but he couldn't tolerate it. And when he came out and he saw an Egyptian striking a Jew, he killed the Egyptian. Later on, when he went to Midian and he saw the shepherds bullying the daughters of Midian, the daughters of Yisro, he struck them. He beat them up and chased them away. But when he came out and he saw Dothan Vaviram, these were two Jews, and they were arguing, and one raised his hand to strike the other, so Moshe immediately intervened, and he said, Rosho, Lomasakes Re'echo, Rosho, why are you hitting your fellow man? And he didn't hit him, he only raised his hand. So from there we learn that not only to murder someone, but even to strike someone, and not only to strike somebody, even to raise your hand to strike him, this is a rosho. This is someone who's known as a rosho. Then the Rambam writes in Halacha Tes, you cannot compare someone who injures or who hits his fellow man to someone who harms property. Because if you harm property of your fellow man, once you pay for it, then it's finished. See, if you break something that belongs to your friend, you're not allowed to. And it's a terrible avera. You broke something that belongs to him. But once you pay for it, then you're all even. Nischapeloi. You're atoned. Avachovel bechaverei. But once you strike your fellow man, afupisha noshan lechamisha dvorim. Even though you pay five accounts, which we'll speak about right now, ein mischapeloi. You're still not atoned. Vafil hikriv kol. Even if you bring all the sacrifices in the world, you strike your fellow man and you reimburse him and you bring all the sacrifices in the world. Now, you're only atoned is if you ask mechila, if you ask forgiveness from the man and he forgives you. But if he doesn't, then there's nothing you can do to atone yourself. Now it states here five accounts. This is something also, on five counts, this is something also very important. You strike a fellow man, he can sue you on five counts according to the law of the Torah. For a nezik, for injury, for tzar, for pain, for ripui, for medical, for shevis, for unemployment, and for boshes, for any public embarrassment that he suffered. So he can sue you on five accounts, which you have to pay. But even after you pay it, you're not atoned until you've asked from him mechila, you've asked forgiveness, and he's atoned you. So we see that the Torah doesn't take a light attitude when it comes to violence. That today, it's a different world. We have so-called sport, where people go to a rugby game or people go to a soccer game. They end up killing each other. Not only do they kill each other, but they kill all kind of people who are spectators. We have sports, boxing, karate, or other set sports. It's supposed to be all in the name of sport. But you're taught how to kill. You're taught how to inflict injury. How to harm. We kill on the roads. Murder. Assault. Rape. It's all in a day's work. And if the government tries to do something about it, the liberals yell. See? Liberals yell. Why are they putting so many people in jail? Why are they being so mean to the criminals? Why are they being so cruel to the murderers? The United States, in many places, they wanted to be more compassionate, so they abolished the capital punishment. Or they turned them back out into the streets. The statistics, astronomical statistics in the West. Here the government is a little more for law and order than other places. But there's astronomical statistics in the West. Where most murders and assault, the majority of murders and assault, are committed by criminals that were already convicted. Were already convicted, but sent back out in the street. Because of the system. Where the system is used in favor of the criminal. Not talking about wars. In Afghanistan or in Vietnam or in Korea, or where there life becomes nothing. But this is all very alien, all very foreign to the Torah's vision of a society, of a civilized society, and we call this civilization. See? As far as the Torah is concerned, this is a jungle. But to the Torah's vision of what society is. Now, the Torah demands that it is the responsibility of the courts, and it's the responsibility of the melech, of the malchus. The melech is the king or the government to maintain law and order. It's not a right. It's not a right to maintain law and order. A right you can waive. It's a responsibility. It's a duty. Where do we see this? We'll cite a few sources. Firstly, a source which we cited in a shiur not long ago in Masechta Oves, Havi Mispalo Bishlei Malchus. The Gemara says the Jew is always obligated to pray for the strength of the government. She'il mole meire malchus, because if not for the fear of the government and of the king, ish es re'eyu chayim below, then one man would swallow up his friend alive. And you'd have the rule of the sea, the Gemara says, instead of the rule of the land, where one fish feeds on the other, if not for the government. And therefore stability and strength and government we're always obligated to pray for. The Rambam brings in Perek Hei of HaHevel Halacha Dalet Perek Dalet and Hei. What happens if a man, if Reuven claims that Shimon hit him? Reuven comes and he has a black eye, and he claims Shimon hit him. So he wants to sue Shimon on five accounts. And Shimon says, it's a lie, I never hit him. So Reuven's going to have to bring proof. He can't bring everybody into court and say that they're a criminal without sufficient evidence. So Reuven's going to have to prove that Shimon hit him. What happens though if it's known that Shimon is a bully? It's known that Shimon is one of these guys that goes around and he likes to practice his karate on other people. And he's a big husky rugby player. And he likes to give, like we learned, ki yigev shor. Like a bull likes to buck someone, he likes to buck someone. He likes to shove people around. And it's become known. It's become known, and there are witnesses that testify to this. So according to the actual halacha, if Reuven shows up with a black eye and he says that Shimon did it, again, we're not going to be able to prove this. That's the actual halacha. But it's the responsibility for the government and for the Torah, for the courts, the Bezdin, to maintain law and order. Knas konsu chachomim. So the chachomim went beyond the halacha. And they made a penalty. Le'ela hasheitim. Balei Zreya. To these sheitim. A sheitim is a fool. Balei Zreya, these muscular fools that go around bullying people. She'anech bol ne'mon v'nishba b'detikas chefet she'zeh choval bol choval zeh v'netel masherelo. That if witnesses see that Reuven and Shimon went into a room and they see Shimon come out bloody, excuse me, Reuven comes out bloody and he says Shimon did it, and Shimon says no, that it's sufficient for Reuven to take a shvuah, an oath, that Shimon did it, and then he can sue Shimon on 5 accounts, and Shimon is guilty. Even though this is not the basic law, because there's not the proof, but Beis Din, the Torah does not want us to become caught up in the system itself. And we must go beyond the system to see that law and order is maintained, to see that people can walk the streets in peace, to see that people can live in peace and not have to worry. Le'elu hasheitim balezreya, for people who think they can, because they're strong, they can go and push other people around. We have a source like that even in murder. Gemara brings in Sanhedrin and the Rambam brings it. Rambam brings it in Perek Beis of Ritzicha. Perek Beis of Ritzicha, Rambam says as follows. He says, what happens if you have someone who kills, Reuven kills, but he does it in such a way where we cannot pin it on him, through a technicality, where he cannot pin it on him. For example, he doesn't actually kill with his hands. He does it in an indirect manner, or he hires someone to kill someone, like mafia. They don't do the dirty work themselves. The mafia is the classical example. In America, they can never put the screws into the mafia, because they always make sure to let someone else do the dirty work. But they're behind it all the time. So you have someone that we know he's killing, but through technicalities, we cannot pin it on him. And therefore the Beis Din cannot kill him. If the king says enough, these guys have gone too far, there's no law and order, the king has a right to kill them, to kill them outright, even though you cannot convict them on a trial, and that's his duty. And the same thing, the courts, if the courts see that because these type of people are getting away with it through technicalities, so there's a breakdown in law and order, where people are going around and taking advantage of innocent citizens, then the Beis Din has permission to kill them in order to protect the system of Torah, law and order. What happens if the king chooses not to kill them? And the courts also chose not to do anything because things were generally all right. They felt that it wasn't necessary. So the Rambam here writes here, Hare Bezdin Chayovin Mikol Mokom. Still Bezdin is obligated. Lahakesem Maka Rabba Hakreve Lemiso. Bezdin is obligated to give them lashes and physical affliction close to killing them. To kill them they can't. But to afflict them close to killing them. Lo'osrim b'motzer b'motzer k'shonim rabesh. To put them in jail for many, many years. Le'tzarim b'chol minei tzar. And to give them all types of physical hardships. K'dei la'hafchid u'la'ayim al shara roshoyim. In order that all other roshoyim, all other wicked people, should see and be frightened. Sh'lo'yahadov alehem le'puka le'michshol. In order that others shall not learn from this, to learn and say, I can also kill this person I've been wanting to get out of the way for a long time, and I'll do it in such a technical way that I also will not be held guilty. In other words, this should be stamped out of Israel. The Rambam further, in Halacha Ches, he brings what happens if someone kills and two witnesses saw. For example, someone killed, but there was not proper warning. Now for killing, the Torah demanded warning for first degree murder, but really you don't need warning. A person knows he's not allowed to kill. Such cases. So the Rambam brings the Gemara. We're not allowed to kill them outright. But it's a mitzvah on the Beis Din to put them in a jail in a way that they'll make sure they'll die. Yeah? In a way that they'll make sure they'll die. Because they're murderers, and they've been proven murderers, but because of a technicality we cannot put them to death, then we will not put them directly to death. But we must make sure they die. Because murderers must be put to death. Because if you don't put murderers to death, and if you're compassionate on them, what will happen? They go kill other people. They will bring violence into the world. Now the Rambam writes here something interesting. He says, this is not something we never do for anything else. In all other cases, if the person is guilty and we can give him his punishment, we give it to him. If we cannot give him his punishment, then we let him off. Only by murder do we do this. Because there is nothing that's more destructive to civilized society than murder. And therefore we are obligated with all our might to wage wars against murderers and those who perpetrate violence. This is something that civilization does not understand. We are obligated with all our might to wage war. Open warfare. With murderers and criminals who perpetrate violence, and to use all type of violence to crush them, then there won't be violence in the world. Violence is in the world because we close our eyes to their violence. And therefore the Rambam says, whenever this happens in any other case, if he's guilty of his punishment, you give it to him. If he's not, you let him off free. But when it comes to this type of violence, to murder, you go, you wage war. It's the obligation of the king to wage war, of the courts, in order to crush violence, because there is nothing more destructive to society than shvichas domim. Afilo avedes ora, ba'afilo arayis. He says, even idolatry, or even incest, or adultery, he says, or chilul Shabbos, or desecration of the Shabbos, he says, does not destroy society like violence and murder. So, let's give you an idea of the Torah's point of view, which is quite different from this Western world's point of view. Now, an interesting point in the Sedra is that in Parshas Masay, in Pasuk Pezayin, it states, "Im bechli varzel hikohu." If he kills him with an iron instrument, an iron weapon, biyomos, and he dies, reseyahu, then he's a murderer. When it comes to stone or wood, there it states, if he struck him with a stone which is capable of killing, if he struck him with wood which is capable of killing. But when it comes to steel, to iron, it does not say whether he's whether it's capable of killing. So Rashi brings by everything else, every other type of weapon, it has to be capable of killing. Iron, if you strike someone with a weapon that's not capable of killing and he dies, you're not responsible. It's considered a freak accident because you struck him with a weapon that's not capable of killing. But if you strike him with an iron weapon, even if it's not capable of killing, and he dies, you're responsible. Why? Shigoli v'yodul ifne HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who created the world, he knows shahabazel memis b'chol shuhu, that iron has the capability of killing, even if it's the smallest weight or the smallest dimension. For example, he says, a machat, a pin. You can take a pin or a needle and you can heal someone with it. So therefore, if you strike someone with a wooden or a stone weapon, it has to be capable of killing. Otherwise, you're not guilty. If you strike someone with iron, anytime. If he dies, you're guilty. Now there's an insight in this. Now we find this other places too. For example, at the end of Parshas Yisro, right after the Torah was given, it states, this is in Shmeis Chof, Pasuk Chof Beis, V'im Mizbach Havonim Taseli. If you make an altar of stone, the Torah says, you should make an altar for me. If it's made out of stone, lesiv nes en gozis, it shall not be cut stone. Ki char b'cho hinafto eleho vat chaleleho. Because how can you cut stone with iron? You'll have to take an iron sword to cut the stone. The Almighty says, don't take a tool of iron. Don't take a tool of iron, an iron sword, and use it on my altar, on the Mizbeach, you'll desecrate it. So Rashi brings why? Because he says, the altar, the Mizbeach, was created to give life to the world. Beis HaMikdash was created to give life. Steel, iron, was created to shorten life. The altar was created to bring peace between man and his fellow man. Steel is used to destroy. So these are two opposites. Iron is opposite of the Mizbeach, of the altar. Now, it's interesting to note that iron was given to Esav. After Yaakov took the brochas from Yitzchok, and he gave him all the brochas of spiritual perfection, Esav came and told his father, asked his father, don't you have any brocha left for me? So he told him, Al charbecho tichya. You shall live by the sword. The sword belongs to Esav. And Daniel, the prophet, he had a dream, a vision. And he saw four great monsters come out of the sea, and each one represented another empire. And the greatest and most vicious monster he saw, that represented Esav, the fourth empire. And he saw him as a monster that was made out of barzel, out of steel. And it was destroying. This was Esav. And if you look in Parshas Vayechi, when Yaakov was dying, he called his 12 sons in to bless them. So he blessed them, He instructed them. He rebuked them. So to Shimon and Levi, he rebuked. Now Shimon and Levi were people of violence. They were fast on the jaw. They shot from the hip. And when their sister Dinah was abducted by Shechem, by Hamor, they didn't revenge Shechem and Hamor. They went and killed the whole city. And Yaakov was very upset with this. So Yaakov said to them, Shimon velevi achim, Shimon velevi, you are brothers, klei chomos mecheresehem. Your weapons are stolen. You have stolen weapons. What does this mean? So Rashi says, mecheresehem is kli zayin, your weapons. This violence that you have, this is not yours, this is stolen. From who? Mi birchas Esav hizu. You stole this from Esav. This that you are so violent, and you're ready to go to war, and you're ready to kill. This is not your weapon. But this is a weapon you stole. Who did you steal it from? You stole it from my brother Esav. Because Esav was given the sword, not Israel. Israel was only given the sword to crush the sword. When it came time to destroy nations of murderers, to destroy violent people, they were given the sword. But not to perpetrate violence. So we see the murder and violence. This is not the broch of Israel. This is the broch of Esav. And it's interesting to note it's brought in the Rambam. In Perek Yud Aleph, the Rambam brings the halacha that a Jew is not allowed to make weapons for a living. Unfortunately, this happens all over the world. Today, the armaments industry is probably the greatest industry in the world. Most lucrative and greatest industry in the world. There's nothing that costs as much today as armaments. The airplane. Millions and billions. Nuclear weapons. A Jew is not allowed to make weapons to sell to nations to use for war. Jew is prohibited. He's allowed to own to sell shields, the Gemara brings in the Rambam. A shield he can sell because that's defense. Something that can be used only as defensive weapons he can sell. But offensive weapons he's not allowed to. It's brought he can sell weapons to the armies of the countries where Jews live in, because it becomes defensive weapons for Jews to protect Jews that are living there. But otherwise he's not allowed to. It's interesting. And also another halacha is brought. It's brought that if you carry a weapon, this became a shaila in Eretz Yisrael. And unfortunately in Eretz Yisrael you have to go with weapons. If you carry a weapon, it's brought, you're not allowed to bring it in a Beis HaMedrash. Not allowed to bring a weapon in a Beis HaMedrash or a Beis HaKnesses in a shul or a yeshiva, not allowed to. As they say many in Eretz Yisrael, many times you come into a shul, the passage, you find all types of weapons there. Because they have to leave them outside, but there was brought shilas that perhaps they could bring them in because it was a sakota many times, it was a danger. Now it's interesting to note, we had the royal wedding last week. And at the royal wedding, they couldn't divorce themselves from the sword. The sword is part of their dress. To them, these Western, this is the descendants of Rome. Rome is Esav. To them, the sword was dress. To us, Harbecho. This is the epitome of destruction.
And even in the at the ceremony of the wedding, it's interesting to note in Parshas Noach, where we quoted, where Noach was commanded that he should not shed any blood, immediately afterwards it states Pru Revu. Kodesh Baruch Hu told him that he must be fruitful and multiply. What does one thing have to do with the other? The answer is, these are two contrary things. To be fruitful and multiply is bringing life to the world. Shedding blood is destroying life. So Almighty said, you shall not shed blood, but you should be fruitful and multiply. A marriage ceremony is the preparing to bring life into the world. It takes place in a church, which is supposed to be a holy place. At the altar, we're commanded to bring life to the world. We're prohibited to bring any weapons into a Beis HaKnesses, into a shul. We're prohibited to bring any steel on the Mizbeach, on the altar. Yet they came with their swords. And even plastic swords were made for the little page boys, that they shouldn't be without their swords. Because the bracha was al charbe chotichya, you shall live by the sword that becomes part of you. And this is why Rome and the image of Esav, the monster of Esav, was made of steel, are constantly at war. And all destructive weapons, fighter planes, rockets, missiles, nuclear weapons are made of the steel and the iron. Now, what we have to realize is that we live in a world which is not a world of Torah values. This is across the board, but specifically in our subject here we see. It's not a world of Torah values. And we must be very careful that we do not become influenced by alien values, contrary to Torah values. The Rambam brings in Hilchos Deos, in Perek Vov, Derech Briosi Shalodom Lios Nimshach B'Dei Osov U'B'Maisov Achareyo V'Chaverev. It is human nature that a person is influenced by the values of the people that he comes in contact with. Nei K'minigan She'Medinosoi. It is human nature that a person is influenced and he does what the people of his Medina, of his city or state do. Therefore we have to be on guard. Now all Jews, by all Jews, or Jews that had tradition in them, they knew what it meant, a ratzeach, a murderer. Because they had a good tradition behind them through their parents and grandparents. Unfortunately, younger generations of Jews don't know this. And they become involved in the values and in the bloodshed of the nations. One of the greatest influences, one of the most powerful influences that are on people today is the media. Don't underestimate the power of the media, of the newspapers, of magazines, of books, of movies, of videos, of TV. Billions of dollars annually, billions upon billions. Some of the most expertise, skills in the world and talents in the world goes into this industry to attract the person. And it's influencing them all the time. Incidentally, it's a tremendous avera for a Jew to produce books or magazines or the newspapers, or videos, or movies, which will have bad influences on people. This is known as a machti asarabim. He's causing other people to be misled and to go off the derech. And if you're interested in that halacha, the Mechaber brings it in Hilchos Shabbos, or Chaim Siman Shin Zayin, Sivtev Zayin, where he brings those people that produce these things to sell to others, they are guilty. It's money. If you think there's any other reason in it, forget about it. It's only money. The whole movie industry, the whole TV industry, the whole media industry, the whole newspaper industry is only in it for money. It's a business. And therefore they'll produce anything that buys. But meanwhile, they are destroying the minds and value systems of people. The violence that's shown in the movies and TVs and in books and newspapers completely distort true values in reality. And there is no doubt it has tremendous influence on young people, and this is why we constantly see a surge, an upsurge in violence and violent crimes. And children are being ruined daily by it. Where they're given permission to watch videos and TV and read books and whatnot, where this poison goes into them. I quoted many times here, there's a very interesting remark from the late Ramesha Feinstein, Zichrein Yudavrocho, where an actor, a Broadway actor, who was keeping Shabbos, asked him some shilas, some questions on how to be able to play on the stage on Shabbos and still not desecrate Shabbos. Someone else will put on his makeup and so forth and so on. So he asked the Ramesha a series of questions which Ramesha answered. But then he says, I'm very surprised, if you're a Shomer Shabbos, if you're a religious Jew, what are you doing on Broadway? And there was one thing that bothered Ramesha, why this man was on Broadway. He said, how can you be on Broadway, on the stage, and have anything to do with the acting industry when they make light, harehim mekilim b'shvichas domim, they make light from murder, shehi ha'aveira ha'chamura, which is the most serious aveira in the Torah. Like the Rambam says, it's the greatest hashchosa, the greatest destruction of the civilized world. And they make a joke out of it. They make a joke out of it, or it's commonplace. Every act, every movie has a few murders in it. This is what bothered the Ramesha. Because this was Torah value. And not only do we tolerate it, but we use it for entertainment. This is how we entertain ourselves. We read a novel that has a good murder plot in it. We watch a video that has 30 or 40 murders in it. Or a TV. This is entertainment. This is Aesop. These were the Romans. This is how the Romans entertained themselves. This is not Jewish Torah values. This is klichomos mecheire sehem. That your weapons are stolen. They're not your weapons. They're the weapons of my brother Aesop. So I think from here we can learn that when we learn Torah, learning Torah doesn't mean just reading Torah, and learning Torah doesn't mean just knowing the law of the Torah, but it means to extract the instruction from the Torah. What is the Torah instructing us? To extract the values. What does the Torah hold valuable? What does the Torah hold right, and what does it hold wrong? And it's through this way that a Jew can remain upright in Torah, even though he's living in a world which desecrates Torah values. So we must give thought to this. The world today, the world's always been, but today and even more so, is a world of murder, it's a world of violence, it's a world of where the strong take advantage of the weak, and it's a world of distortion, because whenever anyone wants to do something about it, immediately the liberals cry out, the academics cry out, the great humanitarians cry out, be compassionate, do not harm the murderer, be compassionate, send him better to a psychologist or a psychiatrist, cure him. But meanwhile, the victims continue to die. So let us learn from here, from this parsha, what it means, Shvichas Domim, and what it means, Chaim, to live. Klal Yisrael was given the Beis HaMikdash. They were given the Mizbeach. And this is Mairich Yomim, gives life to the world. We should all be zeche to see life in its true sense come to the world.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.